Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's we open our lessons with John 3:16. I think this is a great scripture that we can meditate upon. And we'll just read these few verses here. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, if you would, we've been looking at Romans chapter 8, and we spent a little time last week talking about being led by the Spirit of God, or a Spirit-led life. And we're going to continue just a little bit today in another facet of that. Turn to Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verses 14 and verses 16. Mr. Joe, do me a favor. Go in my briefcase.
A binder, like a spiral binder.
Thank you. And verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we can be led by the Spirit of God, not driven. And you can go through Scripture and you can see where evil spirits will drive an individual. Flesh will drive you to do some things. But the Spirit of God will lead us. And the New Century Version, it says, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. I like that. Thank you. And that's key. We have to let him guide us or lead us. How many know when you're sitting next to somebody, you're aware of their presence? If you're sitting next to someone or you're in a room, you could be aware of someone's presence. Some of us, we need to be more aware of the Spirit of God who's in us. So that's just being aware. If you're not aware of his presence or recognize his presence, then you may not necessarily let him lead you. So you have to become more aware of his presence, and we'll share that. One way, turn over to, I don't know if we touched on this last week, but if you're a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, then all things have passed away and all things have become new. But look at John 3, the Gospel of John. Look at John 3 and look at verse 6. You're familiar, some of you are familiar with this scripture. Or look at verse 5. It says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the scriptures also say that God is a spirit. So God's Spirit speaks to our spirit. We have a spirit, and he lives in our spirit. He's present there, and he speaks to us. He guides us. He leads us. So we have to let him. We have to recognize that he's there. And we also have to recognize that he bears witness with our spirit. So let's look at verse 16, Romans chapter 8. Get back over there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself, this is how the translators translated that, but most of your modern translations say himself, bears witness with our spirits. I like some of the other translations. The Weymouth translation said, the Spirit himself bears witness along with our spirits. So we have a spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit. So he bears witness with our own spirits, and or along with. And you're there. Look at verse chapter 9 in Romans. Look at 9 and look at verse 1. It says, I think we touched on this last week. It said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. And let me back up here. There's some other translations that add a little light to that. The Good News Translation, it says, my conscience ruled by the Holy Spirit also assures me. So the Holy Spirit will bear witness to your spirit and assure you of some things. Or we could say bearing witness to your spirit. The Amplified Bible says, my conscience enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with me. So you are enlightened, prompted by the Holy Spirit in your spirit. He bears witness, he enlightens your spirit. So you can see as we shared in this, and the way the King James, it says, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, or it could be by the Holy Ghost. The New Living Translation says, my conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm that what I am saying is true. So the Holy Spirit will confirm things, will bear witness, will enlighten, will reveal things to our spirit. And so often, we need to go by what the Scripture says and not what people. Sometimes, people will say, the Holy Spirit said this to me, and the Holy Spirit said this to me, and the Holy Spirit said this to me. And sometimes we can come away with an impression that the Spirit of God is speaking to them all the time. And I'm not saying that he doesn't. But Brother Hagin, when Jesus appeared to him on the eighth time in 1959, he said, He shared some things about the prophet's ministry, and then he said, I'm not going to lead you this way anymore ever again. And he said he didn't. And Jesus said to him, the primary way that I lead my children is by the inward witness. An inward witness or an inward knowing of something, a revealing of something. So maybe we could say it this way. When the Amplified says, my conscience enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit. How many have ever experienced this as a Christian? You're reading the Scripture, and then all of a sudden you go, wow, I see that. Anybody experienced that? Amen. We all have. Or you wake up, you've been praying about something, you wake up in the morning, you're going through the day, and you just, I know what to do. Enlightenment. Did you hear a voice? No, you didn't hear a voice. There was enlightenment, which is a witness from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. See? And that's not to say that the Spirit of God doesn't speak to us. He does. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, sometimes you'll hear, we've experienced this, your conscience has a voice. What does this just say here in Romans chapter 9? It says, my conscience also bearing me witness. So your conscience has a voice. What do we mean by that? As we were growing up, sometimes as a Christian, you did something, you said something, and you went, you know what, that wasn't right. That just wasn't right. I have to clean that up. What does 1 John 1:9 say? If I confess something, I confess a wrongdoing, he cleanses me of all unrighteousness. So there's a possibility that we could do something that's not right. What bothers you? Your conscience. I think even in Hebrews, it talks about your conscience being grieved. So our conscience bearing witness to something that the Holy Spirit says or prompts us. That's to our spirit. So he will speak, and so sometimes we'll hear a still small voice. Now it's not enlightenment. We're actually hearing something in our spirit. Go over here and do this, or do this. That is the Holy Spirit, and our spirit is picking up what he's saying. So it is the Holy Spirit, but it's your spirit. Your conscience has a voice. And also the Holy Spirit has a very authoritative voice. I've experienced it once in my life where I thought somebody was speaking in my room. I mean loud. But I know because I was in the presence of the Lord, the presence of the Lord was strong, a voice spoke. And it was his voice. And I thought somebody was speaking in my room loud. But it was really in my spirit. So he has an authoritative voice. There's a still small voice. And then there's revelation, knowing. So there are various ways that he can communicate with us in our spirit. But the primary way is to be led by the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit, confirming, is another word you'll hear, confirming to our spirit that we're the children of God. Confirming something to us. Confirming a scripture in your heart. Revealing something in your spirit. So I hope that I'm just said all of that to kind of just confirm some things of what we shared. Also, let's go to the Gospel of John. Let's look at John 14. And let's look at verse 16. And as you're turning there, I'm just going to make a reference to something in Romans 8, but you turn to John. In Romans 8, 16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness. So let me just share this. All the modern translations say himself. And it is not... Let's say it this way, because today I want to touch on some things. An it is not personal. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity of the Godhead. So we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And so we can see that he is a person. And you can see here in John 14 and 16, it says, I will pray the Father, and he the Father, shall give you another comforter. So when we see the word another, that means the same as something, in like manner, something that's the same. Who was the comforter to the disciples? Jesus was. He was the comforter. He was their advocate. He was their intercessor. He was their helper. He was their comforter and counselor. But he said, no, I need to go away. I'm going to send you another comforter, and that he may abide with you forever. When you think about it, we not only have him present, but he's in us. See, See, he wasn't in them, he was with them. And he could only be in one place at one time. The Holy Spirit, I think we touched on last week, is eternal. He's omnipresent, he's omniscient, and he's all-powerful. So you can see here, it was better to send another comforter. And this says here, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, and he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. So we have a comforter, and the Amplified says, it says, the comforter, the counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. So we say all of that, and you know, most people say, well, that's great, that's wonderful, I hear what you're saying. How does that help me? You know, boots on the ground, how does that help me in my everyday life? Well, I'm glad you asked that, because he knows, if he's omnipresent, that means he's everywhere at all the same time. And so if he's omniscient, that means he knows everything. So that means if he's living in me, then the person that knows everything about everything lives in me. And he has sent him here to help me. He's a helper. But I must admit, I've not always gone to him for help. Because I got it figured out. I know. I got it. It feels right. And I know. So I don't even think about going to him and saying, you know, Lord, I think this is the way it goes. What do you think? Because I know. So I don't ask. And so we've all been there. But I'm getting to purpose to ask. And do we still make mistakes? Yes, we do. But there's one way to change a habit, and that's to begin to do something repetitively and start asking, even when we know. We got it figured out, and I'm still learning to not think I know, but to just ask. You know, we go through this sometimes during the day. And I'm sure you've all been here, you may know the answer to something. You've got it all figured. You can see it. One and one is two. I know the answer. I got it. But sometimes you don't know everything. And so just out of, I've learned to do this years ago, that even though I knew the answer, if I was around professionals of other, you know, I did the same thing, I'd say, hey, how'd you do that? And I may get different insight. I may get a different, whole different angle of how they process something and do something. So I don't know everything. I've not experienced everything. And so sometimes, even when we know, sometimes our mantra is pick up the phone and call the vendor, because they may know something you don't know. Just because you know doesn't mean you know everything. So sometimes with that, it's just getting into the habit of not thinking you're so smart and being humble and go to God and ask, what should I do here? And because he sent, that's a benefit. So we can see he's our comforter. But let me ask this question. And of course, we have the person that knows everything living on the inside of us. Does the Holy Spirit, since he's a him, he's a person, does he have feelings? See, that's a question. You know, a lot of people don't even, they think, well, you know, I know the Father, he gets upset, you know. Jesus gets upset, but I don't know about the Holy Spirit. He's an it. Yeah, see, so if he's living on the inside of you, and he bears witness with your spirit, then what he feels, he can convey that to what? Your spirit. So a lot of times, sometimes if you walk into a room sometimes, there can be, boy, this feels good. This is nice in here. I like this in here. He's happy. But there's rooms that we've gone into or settings, and you just, something don't feel right in this room here. And we're grieved. You say, I'm grieved. No, that's not you. It's your spirit. Who is the real you? You're a spirit. And the Holy Spirit who lives in you can be grieved, you see. So I just wanted to point out some scriptures today in that area that he leads us through our own spirit. And one way to become more aware of the Holy Spirit is praying in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, what does the scripture say? Let's jump back. I want to jump back here a moment since we're hooking up here. Look at Romans 8. I know we're jumping a little bit here, but look at Romans 8. And verse 26. I like different translations, but I'm going to read something. Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, or that can mean weaknesses or inabilities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Boy, that's true. But the Spirit itself or himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me read some of these. These are different translations because when we don't know something, he does what? He prays. When we pray in the Spirit, he prays and helps our infirmities. Listen to this. This is the Wuest, W-U-E-S-T translation. It says, the Spirit lends us a helping hand with reference to our weakness for the particular thing we should pray for according to what is necessary in the nature of the case we do not know with absolute knowledge. So he helps us. He gives us a helping hand. Who does? The Holy Spirit does. Let me read this here. This is the Phillips translation. It says, he helps us with our present limitations. This is the basic translation. It says, the Spirit puts our desires into words which are not in our power to say. So he prays through us mysteries which can be conveyed to God in a way that we don't have the power or the understanding or the knowledge to say. But by praying in the Spirit, we're praying, the Spirit of God is praying through our spirit in other tongues in a language that conveys to God what needs to be prayed about in a way that our understanding, we're limited. We don't know. See, I like the way that says that. The Spirit puts our desires into words, what? Into other tongues, which are not in our power to say. This is the plain English version. It says, the Spirit prays on our behalf with inward cries beyond ordinary speech. This is another New English Bible. It says, we do not even know how we ought to pray, or what is right to pray for, but through our inarticulate groans, the Spirit himself is pleading for us. This is another Jerusalem Bible. It says, for when we cannot choose words in order to pray properly, the Spirit himself expresses our plea in a way that could never be put into words. He expresses the plea of our heart. I need this, Lord. But that's about as far as we get. I need this, Lord. But the Spirit of God will pray through us in words that we can't put into natural words. You see. And go to 1 Corinthians. I'm just making a point here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and look at verse 2. You say, well, what is the Spirit of God speaking or saying? 1 Corinthians 14 and chapter and verse, well, we could look at 1. It says, but follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Now listen. Verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto God, speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So when we speak in other tongues, we're speaking mysteries not to God, but to man. So we're speaking in other tongues. The Spirit of God helps our weaknesses when we don't know what to say to God, when we're at our wit's end, when we just are stretched and we don't know really how to pray, how to ask God for a solution. And the Spirit of God will pray through us mysteries, speaking unto God, and he helps our infirmities. So when we pray in the Spirit, not only is the Spirit of God praying through us, but our spirit becomes more aware of spiritual things. How shall I say this? The real you is the Spirit in you. So when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in other tongues, this is saying here, who are you speaking unto? You're speaking unto God. So as all of us have experienced, we may feel flat, dry, tired, but as we spend time praying in the Spirit, we become more aware down here of our spirit. And you become more aware of spiritual things, and you become more aware of the Spirit of God who's inside of you. So that's why it is important when you read Paul saying, I pray in tongues more than you all. He said that in chapter 14 and verse 18. He said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Pastor Judy been saying that recently from the pulpit. Tongues, praying in tongues should really be your primary language. And English should really be your secondary language. It should really be what we pray in or speak in most of the time. I'm not talking about walking around in public, I'm just saying in your private time, even under your breath, you're praying in tongues. Making your spirit more aware. I'm disciplining myself because what ends up happening a lot of times just in the day-to-day activities of things, you get pulled into and your mind is constantly engaged. It's doing, it's thinking, and you have to force yourself to pray in the Spirit. You have to discipline yourself to pray in the Spirit even while you're working. Because your mind is going, you're thinking, you're processing, but you can still pray in the Spirit under your breath. You can still pray in the Spirit, keeping your spirit active and engaged and sensitive to spiritual things. So the point in saying all of that is that we need to be more sensitive to spiritual things, sensitive, and this is a lifelong learning experience. This is your whole life here of learning how to walk in faith, walk in love, being led by the Spirit. You just don't get there overnight. This is a life experience here, a life of growing in this. But as we discipline ourselves, as we begin and purpose to walk in faith, walk in love, and be led by the Spirit of God, we'll grow in these things and develop, just like a muscle. It'll develop. So back to this, does the Holy Spirit have emotions or feelings? Yes. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. We're just going to look at a few scriptures. I want to support things by scripture, but let's look at 1 Thessalonians. I always like to chapter 5 and look at verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19. Here's a simple, sometimes you just need to make it simple in some ways. Do you get grieved? Do you get upset? Can you be joyful? Can you be mournful? Yes. We're made in His image and likeness. So if we're made in His image and likeness, if we have those feelings and emotions, so does He. Sometimes people think that God's in Jamaica somewhere and doesn't care about them, but He does. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 19, it says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. Quench not the Spirit of God. That word quench, it means to suppress or to extinguish or to stifle. So when we come into a setting, we're not to suppress or stifle in a public setting or even in your own personal life. We're not to quench. If He's moving on your heart, we're not to quench or extinguish that. What do we mean by that? If He's moving on your heart to do something, don't quench that. If He's moving on your heart to go over here and do something for somebody and you know it's Him, don't quench that. Don't stifle it. That's what it's saying. Quench not the Spirit of God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're talking about, can the Spirit of God, does He have feelings or emotions? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we can grieve the Spirit of God. When you look that up in the Greek, it that word grieve can mean sorrowful, sadness, offended, or make uneasy. So we can do those things to the Holy Spirit. We could offend the Holy Spirit. We can make Him uneasy. We could, as it says here, they've used grieved, or we could offend Him. I know years ago when Pastor Clinton was alive, and he was the worship leader. He played the piano and led worship with the band. He shared one time that he was playing, and he said that's why he was so sensitive to the kind of band members that he would have playing with him. And he said he sensed the Spirit of God come on him like a coat, just kind of rest on him, and he began to flow in a new song. And he said one of the musicians was over here doing like a little riff. And he said, just lifted, and he went, no! It grieved the Holy Spirit, offended the Holy Spirit. So it's not that it was out of place in the worship. And so the Holy Spirit knows our hearts. He knows our motives. And sometimes we can offend the Holy Spirit by our actions. And because He lives inside of us, when we feel a sorrow or we feel something offended, we pick that up and sense that, it can be that we've done that. We've offended the Spirit of God by something we said or did, and we have to clean that up. We have to clean that up. Maybe we said or did something to someone. I'm sure you've never done that. But we know when that happens. And we also know here, this is talking about grieving the Holy Spirit, making something sorrowful. So what we're saying is the Holy Spirit has feelings or emotions. Let's go over to Isaiah of 63 and verse 10. Isaiah 63. We're just sharing these so that as you go through life, as you live your everyday life, you become more aware of who's in you, who's inside you. Why am I feeling this? Why am I feeling like this? And it may be him, just may be. Isaiah 63, and let's look at verse 10. It says, "But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit, therefore was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them." So the Holy Spirit here is showing to be vexed. And that word means, vexed means to hurt, to displease, to cause pain, or to grieve. So we can displease, we can hurt, we can cause pain where the Holy Spirit is concerned, by our actions, by something we did, said, we can have that effect on the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. This is a familiar scripture. And let's look at verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and 15. Talking about Jesus, our high priest, and says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity." I'm sorry, "with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So you can see here, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And let me just look up that word here. That word feeling, or feeling, the feeling, it's not plural, but the feeling of our infirmities. I like this. It says to be affected with the same feeling as another. So the Spirit of Jesus, when we hurt, he hurts. When we're not happy, he's affected by that. This says here that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So sometimes I've had some experiences recently doing a funeral or a homegoing service, when I walked into the room, I mean, it was so pronounced. When I walked into the room, I sensed it wasn't a grieving, it was a sorrow. I was feeling sorrowful. And I said, "Well, that's not me." And I felt that. I mean, it was inside a sorrow, like a weeping and a sorrow. And I believe I heard the Holy Spirit say in that setting that everybody handles death differently. Every single person who loses a loved one or a friend or a mother or a father or aunt handles that differently. And God's Spirit is touched with that. And so when we come into a room sometimes to minister God's word, we sense that. For what purpose? To help lift that with what? A word or a prayer or the word of God to help that, because God is touched with that. See, so sometimes when we walk into settings, you may feel, because what happened was as soon as that service was over, it lifted. I'm serious, it lifted. It was like, wow, that was different. And I walked outside and we're greeting people and it was gone. But it was in that setting, there was a sense of sorrow. And I was sensing that, feeling it. And I said, sometimes when God has us go to our jobs or our friends, we may sense something as the Spirit of God beginning to work in you to sense something so that he can use you to say a word, do a kind deed, something. Take them out to dinner, something. To lift their spirit, to help them. And that's why I think that's why I'm becoming more aware of things. And like, it's not me. I get up in the morning, I feel like this. I'm like, wait a minute. Is that me or am I picking up something? Is that something I should be praying about? You see what I mean? I think, I'm not saying that it is or it isn't, but just becoming more aware that he lives in you. And he has a feel. He feels things. God feels things. He's touched with our weaknesses and our infirmities. And so, who's his eyes and his hands? We are. And so, he lives in us. He wants to use us. And so, when we have a prompt to call somebody, sometimes we don't know why, and we just call and we find out why. You see, so it's important to recognize and become, as we say, just more aware of his presence in us, to not only lead and guide us in our own personal affairs, but that he's touched with the feelings of people, and God loves people. And there may be people that don't even know him that are going through hard places, struggling in life, and God is leading us to help them and minister to them in a way that lifts the burden off of their life, you see. And so just to share that he helps our weaknesses. And really, I think today was just really to share a few scriptures that he is touched with the feelings of our emotions and infirmities, and that to be more aware, pray in the Spirit more. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then consider being filled with the Spirit of God, so that you can become more aware of him. But he lives in us. He's here to help us, to guide us. And to really, for me, as we become more aware of him and we go to him, we'll make less and less mistakes in life. The choices that we make will be accurate and 100% every time. We won't make bad choices, because we'll get his insight, his help, his counsel. You know, some of us, when you think about it, what do, you know, people that get into a jam, you know, you see actors and actresses, football players, basketball players, all of them, right? They get into a pickle, they get into a jam. Who do they go? They're looking for the best lawyer that money can buy, because they figure they're going to get me out of this. That's what they do, and they got the money to do it. We've got God living in us. We've got the best counselor and advocate living in us because of what Jesus did. And so we should not, we do, but I think as we become more aware and we go to Him more often, we won't miss it in any area of our life. We won't miss it in our relationships. We won't miss it in our jobs. We won't miss it in our investments. We won't miss it. We just won't make bad choices. And if you're not sure, you just hold up. You just sit on it for a while. You don't have to choose. You don't have to make a choice. Just wait. And I'm personally convinced that if you have to make a choice, and it's essential that you make a choice, He's going to show you what to do. I'll share this because I asked Pastor Greg if I could share this. He said, sure. Last week, either one of us do payroll. We do payroll on Tuesdays, and so we have an online service, so we go in and we do certain things, and so we do all of that for direct deposit. So either he does it or I do. So he did it last Tuesday. So he went in, and I do some process, and he does another process, so we push that through. Well, we got busy. And Tuesday went by, Wednesday went by, Thursday. We're into Thursday, and we're zooming along in the week. And he had an appointment, so he was off-site. And I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm doing something at the computer, and a thought comes. I could have dismissed it. Go in and check the email in your pastor's email directory. And I said, oh, okay. Go in, I look, and I see an email from the payroll service. This is Thursday, and it says, urgent request, you've not approved your payroll. And I went, what? Now, this is Thursday. People get direct deposits on Friday. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. So I sign into the payroll system, and I look, and I went, ouch. It was not accepted. And I quickly went in and accepted it and pushed it through. And then I called them to see, hey, what's up? And they said, there's a log which shows everything that you've done. So it showed that payroll was submitted, and then it goes through and you get a preview and you look at it and then you accept it. So if you did something wrong, you can reject it and redo it and so forth and so on. Well, the payroll was submitted, but it wasn't accepted. So I did. I accepted it. And so I called them, and they said, well, you know, it should go through. It's late in the week. And I said, well, thank God, it'll go through and so forth. And so they said it should. It depends on the banks and so forth. So when Pastor Greg came back, I shared it with him. He went, no, I accepted that. I said, well, I said, you can go to the log. I said, you went this far but didn't accept it. And so we're chatting, we're talking, and so forth. This is what I'm talking about, listening to the Holy Spirit. Because I said, remember we got busy, the payroll got pushed through at 2:29, and I said, remember we started doing some meetings after that? And he said, yeah. And then he turned around and he was working. Then about 10 minutes later, he said this to me. You know, he said, I had a prompt on Wednesday to look at the payroll. And I dismissed it. Because every week a thought will come, you didn't submit the payroll. And he went, yes, I did. You know how we get voices and things come in your mind. And he said, yes, I did. And a voice said to him, a thought, not a voice, a thought came, check the payroll. And he dismissed it because he said it was like all of, you know, every week, yeah, check the voice. Blah, 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 blah. And he said, but in hindsight, he said, this voice was different. It didn't push me. He said it was check the payroll, and he dismissed it. And I said, well, I said, think of this. You learned something, because now you learned that voice. It wasn't critical. The Holy Ghost spoke to me. Well, it didn't speak. It just a thought came. Check this. And it got through. It was okay. Safety net. That's why it's so important to me in a home, husband, wife, children, the gifts of the Spirit should be flowing. That means if the husband missed it, the wife picks something up. If the wife missed it, the husband picks something up. There's the flow of the Holy Ghost in the home. How do we get that? We create an atmosphere in the home that there's the atmosphere where the Holy Ghost is not grieved. He's not sorrowful. He's pleased to dwell in that setting. So you've got to create a climate in your home so that he isn't. So that we can hear. I mean, so if there's so much noise going on and banter, we're not going to hear them. See, so we have to create a climate at home that the Spirit of God is free to move. And we recognize. And how do we do? We're going to make mistakes. Look, I make mistakes. But I'm becoming more sensitive and more aware. That was him. And that's why when he said, when the thought came, check the payroll, I knew it was him. I mean, it wasn't any doubt. I just, quick, and I went, ooh, what is that? So when those prompts come, follow them out. You check them. Check them out. Follow them out. It could mean you could be a parent and a thought comes. Go check up on your child. You better. I heard Pastor Sarah share a story. This was something that happened 30 years ago to this couple. And, he was one of the original board of directors here at the ministry. And their child drowned in their pool. Sad situation. But she said the Spirit of God told her to go check up on her child. And she dismissed it. It can be that. It can be life or death. He may prompt you, don't get in the car. Don't leave right now. Just stop. Pastor Sarah and Clinton talked about this when they were out at Rhema Bible Training Center before that whole Broken Arrow area was developed. We're talking 30-some years ago. I was out there at that time. It was like a farm. It was like there was nothing. It was like up here. You can't see anything. And no street lights, dark, it's pitch black. That whole area now, it's like a metropolis, everything. Lights, stores, malls. So they were going home from a meeting, and they were stopped at a traffic light, kind of like it's pitch black. You know, it'd be like you coming out here wigwam and you're stopped at a light, right? Well, there's a stop sign, but same thing. Pitch dark, nothing, right? They're stopped. And the light changed, and Pastor Clinton hesitated. He stopped. He didn't go. And she said, we going home? You know, it's like, what are you doing? He paused, and this car came like 90 miles an hour. Wah! Through the light. And said if they had moved when the light changed, they'd have been in the intersection. So sometimes we do things we don't even recognize the Spirit of God doing and prompting things that we do, but it's becoming aware of the things that we do. If he says, lay down and go to sleep, go to sleep. If he says, get up and have a meal, have a meal. Or if he says, go and invest in this, invest in this. If he says, sell it, sell it. Because he knows. Does all that make sense? I know for me, I'm endeavoring this year to be more and more sensitive to him. Because I believe in walking as a Christian, it's the difference between success and struggle. Sometimes we'll struggle through things and we'll wonder why. Sometimes you need to go back and say, did I get any direction in this? Did he prompt me not to do that? And look back. Because if he did, then you learn something. You see, you can say, you know what? You did. Okay, I got it. I got it. See? Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 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 Well, praise God. If anybody doesn't have any, hope you're at least learning a little bit. you know, if anything, you know, if it'll help you, I think sometimes recognize that maybe he has been speaking about certain things, and sometimes we. Let me say it this way. You know, when I think back about some of my eating habits and what got me into a very tough spot, almost dying, I reflect back now, and thoughts came every once in a while, don't drink that. But I did anyways. Because I liked it. And I wasn't in trouble. You understand what I mean? A thought comes, stop drinking this. But you don't have a problem. So when you got a problem, you're now on your knees saying, what's up? And he says, remember I told you, da 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 da. And so, to me, it's no different whether it's eating, whether it's family, relationships, investments, job, whatever it is. He's speaking. And when sometimes I don't even like to use that word, even saying he's speaking, thoughts come. And the thought is, go over here, don't do this. And we just dismiss it because what? We know. And we just dismiss it, or we don't pay attention to those. And sometimes we get into trouble, or we have issues in life. So what I'm endeavoring, me personally, is to not have less and less and less and less and less issues that have to be cleaned up because of bad choices. So that I'm going to look to him, and if I don't have an immediate answer and I don't have to make a choice and I'm not comfortable, guess what? I'm not making it. I'm thinking about, oh, we have some friends over here. It's like, who was that? He wants to come in. That's dear. But I was thinking about something recently, you know, talking about being uncomfortable in your spirit about, you know, I want to do this, and you just, I want to do it, but just there's a slight hesitation. So we in Nanuet, we need to upgrade our lighting, we need to upgrade our band. Well, we've upgraded some of the band equipment, but it needs an overhaul. Sound equipment needs an overhaul. Speakers need an overhaul. And so 2 years ago, I went out to Rhema, and they were having a technology seminar. So I met this, you know, owner of a company, and Rhema was using them, and it just felt right. It felt right. And I said, hey, I like these guys. I like what they're doing. I like the solutions. I like the things they're doing. And but for us, I had a hesitation. And I didn't know why. It's like, man, let's do... Nah. And then the Holy Spirit began to unfold that we're not staying in this building. Not here, but I'm talking about Nanuet. And I went, ah, okay. Got it. Okay, now I understand why the hesitation. Because it would have been a big, big dollar figure upgrade. To upgrade all our lighting, gut the, I mean, we would have to have taken the ring down, that whole suspended grid, redesign everything. It is $1 million, easy. Change lighting, ring, grid work, speakers, the whole thing. Upgrade audio and video and so forth. Easy, easy. So I was like, nah, let's hold off. So time goes on, and so I said, okay, the band comes, and now the band is squawking, we don't like this, and you know, they're making do, and they want things. And so I said, okay, let's upgrade, let's do something. And I said, let's see if we can do a little thing, very inexpensive, let's make an inexpensive upgrade. So they came out, they made some change recommendations, and it was over this summer. The owner came out, he was driving through the area, he came, and we sat and talked. It just didn't, it wasn't a green light. It wasn't like, yeah. And I said, this is weird. And so I've been sitting on it lately, and so it's been coming back up, do this. So I get an email from one of the persons that was a designer with the company. He was the one that came out. He was an engineer and a designer. He says, hey, I got some news. Okay. He said, the core group that made up that company left and started another company. And I said, ooh, now that would be a good reason to hold up. So I said, you know what? It pays, because I could have jammed off running. And now it's like, what is this? See, so sometimes, not sometimes, it pays to listen. Now, he didn't speak to me. It was just this hesitation. That's all it was. Just a hesitation. And I said, I've been saying, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Now, we're going to get it upgraded, and I have to talk and work, because I'm going to go back and talk to the original owner and find out, hey, what happened? Why'd you guys leave? And I'll talk to these guys, because I'm going to know who I'm doing business with. Especially when we're spending money at the ministry. I want to be comfortable. And you need to ask. See, that's the thing I think we need to also understand, is that the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not your head, with your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. It didn't say don't use your brain. It didn't say don't ask questions. It didn't say don't investigate. It didn't say that. It just says don't lean to your understanding. So we're going to ask questions. We're going to probe. And at the end, we say, how do I feel about this? How do I feel about this? Because the facts may say don't touch it, but your heart says yes. Or you may want to, and your heart says no. So you do use your brain. You do use your understanding, you just don't lean to it. So, anyways, praise God. Father, we thank you for this moment we've had. We trust that the Spirit of God has conveyed what we need to hear, what will enlighten, what will unfold the Scriptures to us so that we can be better Christians, more productive, successful Christians for you, so that we can bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.